3, 2, 1. Welcome to our show, everyone. Nice having you with us today. I'm Chuck Anderson. I'll be your host for the rest of the hour. This is a special month and year for this journalist. In July of 1955, this reporter started his radio career with Armed Forces Radio in Korea, a career I'm glad to say I've pursued over the years, and this month marks my 40th anniversary since that first morning show, broadcasting over a 10,000-watt AM station, where I had the chance to say, "Good morning, Korea." So, happy anniversary, Chuck. That's me clapping in the background. We have a great show for you today, so wherever you're at, or whatever you're doing, please stay tuned because we have an interesting guest who was a regular on the long-running TV series Charlie's Angels, has made many movies, and my favorite was her portrayal of Grace Kelly in Princess Grace. She is a dancer, singer, and an actress. But what is really special to us in South Dakota is that she was born and raised in Huron and graduated from Huron High School in 1969. If you haven't guessed her name by now, it's Cheryl Ladd. And welcome to the show, Cheryl.
Hi, thank you, Chuck.
It's wonderful, and I thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Well, I'm happy that I could do it.
You were originally going to be in Huron July 8th, I know, to speak at the ribbon-cutting ceremonies for the new wing at the Huron Regional Medical Center. And what happened, Cheryl?
Well, that's right. I was so looking forward to it. We had it all set up, and as it turns out, I have to go to Europe to promote their doing a big promotional thing for my new series, which is One West Waikiki, which was is going to be on Sky Television there and all throughout Europe, and they have planned a promotional tour for me, and I have to go to work. So
we all have to make a dollar.
That's right. So they're expecting me to go there and promote it, and unfortunately I won't be able to come to Huron. Oh, I was very much looking forward to it. You know, I was born in that hospital, so.
You were?
Yes.
Well, it should be a special thing to you then.
Yeah.
But we appreciate at least that you got an A+, Cheryl, for trying to be here.
Well, I keep hoping that they'll ask me again to come back and do something because it really gets me focused on getting back there. You know, my life is so busy that it's often hard to come back to South Dakota, especially now that my parents aren't there. And, you know, although I have some aunts and uncles and cousins, you know, it's not the way it used to be when the folks were there. I was home, you know, at least once a year.
That's right. Cheryl, let me ask you about your career. It's a wonderful career, and we're all very proud of you here in South Dakota.
Thank you.
Of all of the movies that you've made, what are some of your favorites, and why, Cheryl?
Well, I agree with you that that Grace Kelly, it certainly was a special experience for me, and she was such an incredible woman, such an inspirational woman, that I very much enjoyed doing that film, and it was through my own production company. I did it with my husband, Brian Russell.
I didn't know that.
And he was sitting in the garden with Grace Kelly about 6 months before the car accident, going through the script with her, and they weren't involved in the production of the film. And so it is very close to my heart, and not in only the sense that I enjoyed so much and felt privileged to play her and to do the story of her life, but to have gotten to know her a bit, and then to have had this tragedy happen right in the midst of the making of it, you know?
Yes.
So it's certainly something I will never forget. It was a big part of my life at that time, and it has had such an influence on a lot of people, her life story, you know?
I would think, for a woman now, of course, I have to, you know, pretend, but I would think that'd be a beautiful part because you had a chance to have all of the beautiful gowns that Grace Kelly wore.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a chance to look beautiful, and I thought you did a great job.
Thank you. It was really fun also recreating some of the roles she had played, doing a few of the little scenes from her famous movies. That was really fun to do. And as you said, you know, she wore great clothes. I think the interesting thing about this story, for me, I think, to play it, was that she was someone who really wanted a career as an actress and to make something of herself. Even though she came from this kind of prestigious family, you know, in Philadelphia, her parents didn't encourage her much to be an actress. You know, it wasn't something they were encouraging.
That's right.
And so she really fought kind of her father, basically, to make something of herself. And, you know, I can't relate to that because my parents were really supportive of me, but I can certainly relate to the issue of wanting to be your own person and go about your life and doing what you know you really want to do, you know?
Alfred Hitchcock loved blondes in his movies, and he really liked her. Grace Kelly seemed to be one of his favorites.
Yes, very much so.
Let's talk about what really launched your career, Cheryl. And, of course, you know the question, Charlie's Angels. When you had that chance to become one of Charlie's Angels, did you realize at the time how it would catapult your success and your career?
No, any kind of understanding I may have had at the moment, it was, you know, such a minuscule portion of what actually happened after I said yes. It's strange that when I was first asked to do it, I said no. I didn't see myself sort of doing that role. I had been offered a role on The Family. I don't know if you remember that series with Seda Thompson and Christy McNichol. It was a very prestigious show at the time, and Meredith Baxter Burney, who ended up playing the daughter on Family, and I were up for that part. And when I didn't get it, I was very, very disappointed. And then Aaron, who was also the producer of Family, after Farrah left Angels, asked me if I would like to do that role. And I just didn't see myself in that kind of role. And so he convinced me to that I should go in and speak to him about it. And at the same time, you have to remember it was pretty scary because Farrah was a huge phenomenon. And I didn't necessarily want to put myself in a position to have everyone say, oh, well, she's no Farrah Fawcett, you know. You know,
those were big shoes.
They were very scary times. It was a scary decision on many levels. And
you put it on the line.
Me, that we could create a character that was, I said, you know, I wanted to play some comedy. I didn't want to be a perfect and glamorous. If I could do some comedy and be the rookie and make some mistakes and be that kind of character that people kind of root for, the underdog.
That's right.
That I could, that would be fun. I thought that I could make that work, and as it turned out, it did work. And Chris Monroe became somebody that people really started to root for.
That's right.
And that was nice, you know. And they accepted me, and didn't compare me so much with Farrell, which was great.
How come Farrah Fawcett left the show?
I don't know. She felt that she had. Had to do other things, I guess.
I think she did.
Saw a feature film career for herself, and
it gave a spot for Cheryl Ladd to prove that she could walk right in there. And working on a TV series like Charlie's Angels, the layman watching one of those episodes probably doesn't realize the amount of time it took to make just one of those hour-long shows. Back in those days, Cheryl, what would be a typical filming day? What would it be like? When did you go to work?
I would be up probably at 5 in the morning, leaving for the studio at 5:30, driving down to 20th Century Fox, you know, before the sun was up.
Oh.
So I'd arrive at work as the sun was coming up, and I would probably finish work on any given day 12 to 14 hours later.
Wow.
And drive home and learn my lines for the next day. This went on 5 days a week for 9 months out of each year.
And people think being a star is easy.
Well, the work is very hard because it's an hour drama. People, to do one episode, which is an hour long, it takes 7 days of 12 to 14-hour days for each episode.
Would anyone ever forget their lines?
Oh, sure. Especially about when you're into it about 6 months and you're so tired and you're doing sometimes 10 pages of dialogue a day.
Anybody ever get the giggles when they did something?
So many times. We'd get the church giggles because we would be so tired by the end of any given day. I mean, there were times when we didn't think we were going to get through the scene because we were laughing so hard.
No kidding.
We had a lot of fun.
Did you guys ever do anything really dumb, like we've all done dumb things along the way, like walk into a wall and they had to say cut?
Oh, yeah, pull a door handle off. Oh, yeah, all of those silly things, you know, doing a toast and we clink glasses and they broke. And David Doyle mooned us once.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah, it was great. There's a picture of the three of us on camera, and he was standing and doing his off-camera lines because they were doing a shot of the three of us, and you know, we were in the middle of the scene, and he just mooned us in the middle of the scene. Well, it took us quite a while to recover from that one.
Were there ever any accidents when you guys were filming?
Well, one time we had to do a scene in which was a fire, and it got a little out of control. We had to sort of abandon the set until the fire people got it under control. Yeah, some interesting things.
People ever get hurt in that field?
No, they were pretty careful with us. We had some excellent stunt people because they really couldn't afford for any of us to be hurt because we had to film, you know, every day.
I'll be just taking a short break right now, Cheryl.
All right.
We're visiting with Cheryl Ladd by telephone. We wish she was in the studio with us, but she is actually about 2,000 miles away in the hills of Santa Barbara, California, very close to where her folks now live. We're going to be talking a little bit about Cheryl's family when we come back, and naturally, we're going to ask about when Cheryl Ladd was young and attending here in high school. But right now, we will be taking a small break, so don't go away, please. You're listening to Personalities with Chuck Anderson. Three, two, one. We're back. Thanks for listening to the show. I'm Chuck Anderson, and our guest on this portion of the show is Cheryl Ladd. We're visiting with Cheryl by telephone to her home in the hills of Santa Barbara, California. I know our telephone link won't be as crisp as if Cheryl was in our Huron studios, but we're delighted Cheryl would take the time out of her busy schedule to be with us. Cheryl, thanks ever so much for being with us. Hello, Cheryl.
Hi, I'm still here.
I thought, you know, because we're on telephone, I thought maybe you just went out and took a little break yourself.
No, I'm still with you.
You didn't know we'd be back so quick. What was it like when, before Charlie's Angels, we know that that's what really catapulted you into success and fame, but what between high school, when you left here in 1969 here in high school, and that first debut with Charlie's Angels, what did you do to really prepare yourself for such a role?
Well, I studied, for one thing. As soon as I, you know, I was singing with the Music Shop, a band from our hometown, the people that booked us in the clubs that we were working in all throughout the Midwest, lived in Sherman Oaks, California. And they came to see us in one of the clubs that we were playing, and they were an old vaudeville couple called Art and Edna Whiting. And when they saw me perform, they said, you know, kid, we really think you've got it. If you should get out to work your way out to California, we could really, you know, do something with you. We think you could be a big star. So as it turned out, we eventually kind of worked our way out to California. The band, some of the leaders of the band they were all much older than I was, married and had families and things, so they went back to South Dakota. And I ended up staying with Art and Edna Whiting in Sherman Oaks, California. It's a suburb of Los Angeles. I got into an acting class, and I got an agent. And my very first professional job, after many auditions and much rejection, was as the voice of a cartoon character called Josie and the Pussycats.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How did you get a job like that?
I auditioned for it. I went in and met with them, and it was the singing voice, and they wanted to do a sort of pop bubblegum records and have these three female characters. It's interesting, once again, three female characters.
That's
who
right.
Who were Josie and the Pussycats. They wanted them to have kind of pop records and music in the cartoon, which was kind of a new approach to cartoons on Saturday morning.
Huh.
So I played I was a singing character, the singing voice of Melody. And we put an album out on, I think it was Capitol Records that put it out, called Josie and the Pussycats.
I just thought of this right now. I remember that you did a special on one of the major networks, Cheryl.
Yes.
Some years ago. And it was a very good special. And, of course, all of us in Huron always tune in when Cheryl Ladd's going to be on because we say, that's our girl. You did some dancing on that special. And quite frankly, I didn't know that you danced, and you dance very well. I'm wondering why you don't do more dancing.
Well, musicals are kind of not in vogue anymore, doing specials. I think MTV sort of put an end to that kind of variety television. There aren't any variety shows anymore, and as I said, the music video shows kind of took over. When I was doing these musical variety shows, that was kind of the last hurrah for that sort of thing, and I love doing it. I studied from the time I was 7 until I was about 16 years old.
Who did you study with?
Sandy Dvorak.
Wow.
And
that's a tribute to them.
Yes. And I loved dancing. It was. And then I did some gymnastics there, and all of that I think was good training for an aspiring actress. Certainly, you have to have an understanding and a control of your body language and a sense of grace, being able to enter a room with some presence. And I think all those dancing lessons paid off. Even though I don't get to dance all the time, that sense of self is very important when you're an actress.
And you sang on the special, and you did very well. And again, I don't really hear you singing much.
No, and for a while, when Angels was on, I was recording for Capitol Records. I actually came to California to be... I thought I'd have a music career, to be a singer. That was kind of what got me here. Although I had always wanted to act, it was the music that brought me here. And as it turned out, the acting is in a way sort of taken over. I did a musical play here called Anything Goes here in Santa Barbara. So I do some singing on stage, but I haven't been recording. And
do you miss it?
I do miss it. I really love music.
The group that you sang with in the Huron area, the Music Shop?
Yes.
Who were some of the people in it?
Tom Fritz, who worked for a long time at KIJB.
Yes.
There. As a matter of fact, I've lost track of him. If anybody knows how I can get a hold of Tom Fritz, let me know. I'd sure like to talk to him.
Okay.
And Doug Almond.
Yes.
Was in the band, and... I just went blank to his name. I'm really bad. Well, it's been 20-some years here.
Well, at least, yeah.
Paul Drake, I want to say that. I think that's right.
What was Cheryl like in high school? Did you also do a lot of performing then?
I did, yeah. We had a little trio in high school called JG and Me.
I like
and
that.
And it was George Halverson and Jan... Van Sickle and myself, and we did all the Peter, Paul, and Mary songs, so we performed all the time. And then, my drama teacher, Dennis Decker, when I was a sophomore in high school, had me do a play. I auditioned for a play, and usually all the juniors and seniors got the parts in the plays.
That's right.
And but I auditioned for this play called In a Spiral Staircase, I think was the name of the play. And he was the first person that really allowed my interest in acting to have a place to voice itself. And although I did play a mute, I think I had one line at the end of the play where she finally speaks. But he really sort of set me on a course. I guess it's Dennis Decker's fault that I'm an actress. And Milo Peets, who was the music teacher in our high school, he was also very influential. I think he gave me a lot of support and was a big believer in me. And you can almost pinpoint certain teachers in your life when you went, in 3 years,
That's
4
right.
years, that you really felt encouraged you and guided you in a way that made you feel you could accomplish something.
Milo Peets just retired. He was the choir director, chorus director here at Huron High School. Just retired a few years ago.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, so it was probably...
He's a wonderful teacher. I'm sure he influenced a lot of children in a very positive way.
You know, that's a good question. I love it when interviewers will ask a person such as yourself, in a status as yourself, as you reflect back in school, either high school or junior high or grade, what are some of the subjects that you took that you now know were just invaluable to your trade? You didn't know it at the time, of course.
Right. Well, certainly, living in Southern California, I'm really happy that I took Spanish.
Yes.
It wasn't a language that we could use much in Huron. You know, there weren't a lot of Spanish-speaking people around. but they are certainly are a lot of Spanish-speaking people in Southern California.
Yeah.
And even though I'm not certainly not a fluent, I'm not fluent in Spanish, I can get by and have conversation and communicate and get myself understood. And that's really important. And I had a wonderful, wonderful Spanish teacher, Karen Mueller. And a lovely lady. I don't know if she still teaches or not.
I'm sure she'll be very thrilled that you said that about her.
And, well, she was a very kind lady and very, again, very encouraging and supportive. And she was just one of these teachers that had, she was a very young woman, and she had a big influence on me. She was very classy and I think carried herself very well, and she was very soft-spoken, but very strong at the same time.
Karen High School has always been strong in several fields. One is speech, and the other is the whole system was built on the English language. I think that we knew how to diagram sentences better in the sixth grade than a lot of schools probably in college. Who are some of the teachers that you remember that really helped shape and mold Cheryl Ladd's life?
Oh, well,
I know that you'll forget
Dennis
some.
Obviously, Dennis Hooker and Milo Peets, because they were acting in music. Karen Mueller, who was my Spanish teacher. Mr. Hanks, I remember, who was... he taught me sociology, I think. And let's see. I think it was in the seventh grade I had Ethan Hanks, and he was the one that announced to our class that President Kennedy was shot. So that's a big moment.
Yes.
You know.
We all remember that moment.
We all remember where we were, and yeah.
How about when you were in grade school? We all remember. Usually it's the toughest, meanest teacher that we had.
Yeah.
That years later we always say that's the person we learned the most from.
Well, actually, I seem to learn more from the nice ladies. I'm in the third grade, I think. I had Mrs. Velzy, and she was just lovely and kind. And although I had Miss Jones in the fifth grade, and she was tough. She was a tough cookie, but she taught me a lot.
I understand when you were young, you used to enjoy playing dress up.
Oh, yes. Oh, I do want to mention Mrs. Hofer also. Mrs. Hofer, I think, was seventh grade, or maybe it was ninth grade, English, speech and English. She was tough, boy. Talk about diagramming sentences. But she also was a great influence on me. She was a character to me. When I was that age, you know, I could tell that she was somebody to be reckoned with.
Yes.
And I really liked her. I liked her energy, and she was a very good teacher.
Well, I'm sure that they're going to be very complimented that Cheryl Ladd thinks back over the years, and these are some of the people that helped put Cheryl Ladd where she's at today.
Yeah.
Yeah. On her way almost to Europe, somewhere off there, to promote a series this fall.
Yes.
What was it? Let's say the name of the series again.
One West Waikiki.
And are
I
we
played the medical examiner of Honolulu.
And we saw that last fall, didn't we?
Yes, it was on for six episodes. It's going to be back on again in September in syndication. We finished a whole year of shows, so I don't know where it's going to be playing, what station it'll be playing on in South Dakota, but I hope you get to see it there.
We're going to take a little break right now. We want to thank our guest, who is about 2,000 miles away right now, but it was awfully nice of Cheryl Ladd to consent to be our guest for today. And we're going to take a little break, Cheryl, so don't go away.
Okay.
And let's tell the other people that no matter where you're listening to us at right now, please stay tuned, because we've still got about a half hour of the show. We're visiting with Cheryl Ladd. This is Chuck Anderson. We'll be right back. 3, 2, 1. Thanks for staying with us today. I'm Chuck Anderson, and our guest today is Huron's Cheryl Ladd. It's this part of the show we always want our listeners to know. We appreciate you letting us be part of your morning. I want to thank all of you who gave me a call to let me know you enjoyed our program a couple of weeks ago from the old gas and steam show near DeSmit, South Dakota. Sometimes you never know what will work until you try it. So thanks for your nice comments. What a fabulous guest that we have today on the show. A regular on the long-running television show Charlie's Angels, has done her own network specials, movies, a singer, a dancer, born and raised in Huron, South Dakota, Please let us welcome back to the show Cheryl Ladd.
Well, thanks ever so much for being with us.
Oh, I'm enjoying it, Chuck.
How's the weather in California?
It's lovely. It's just beautiful today.
And I suspect that you're getting ready for a trip to Europe.
Yes, we are. We're going to be in London and in Scotland and in Ireland.
And Cheryl Ladd, for those of you that maybe have lived in a cave somewhere, is an actress, a wonderful dancer. We'd like to see her do more dancing. She said there isn't the variety shows right now available for television dancing, and a very good singer. We were talking to Cheryl about her years at Huron High School and some of the people that helped shape their lives. And Cheryl, for a lot of the people that will be listening to this from, say, Nebraska or Iowa or Minnesota, they don't quite understand how flat here in South Dakota is, where this is the prairie out here. What was it like as a little child growing up in Huron? Did you think that the whole world was flat?
I did, yes. Actually, I joke with people and say that I was 12 years old before I realized snow fell out of the sky. I thought it blew on us from Canada.
When I went into the Marine Corps in 1954, I went out to San Diego in the summertime, and we used to joke about continuously falling down because they have no wind in San Diego.
Yes.
You know, we're used to just walking in a 45-degree angle.
I know. It's so true. It's a great place to grow up, though. I'm so grateful that I had my youth in a safe environment with such sort of down-to-earth people, and, you know, I think that upbringing I had there and the kind of people that I grew up with and that work ethic that is innately there in South Dakota and that honesty, that basic earnest quality that the people have there, I think that it's helped me survive some very tough things in Hollywood, you know?
That's right. That's right. As a little girl, your dad used to enjoy going out and collecting antique bottles.
Yes.
I happen to know that as a fact. In fact, your whole family have always sort of enjoyed antiques.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have a chance to go out with your dad and do any digging along those famous old railroad sites that just he and a few of his old friends, his old cronies knew about?
Yeah. I think I was out in a few areas, but I don't remember ever digging any bottles. I wouldn't know how, and I certainly wouldn't know what to look for.
But I know
that they were very, very involved in it and loved that. And to this day, they still haunt the antique shops and find, you know, treasures and buy and resell. And, you know, they're still very much into that whole part of their lives.
I had a chance to meet your youngest brother, Seth, at your folks' auction when they left here. And I'm going to guess at the year, I think it was 1982. And I went out because the flyer for the auction said, old bottles, antiques, etc. And I've always enjoyed antiques. And in fact, I mentioned to you in my letter that I've had an antique shop for many years. But when your sister Mary Ann left for Phoenix, she was such a good customer, I've joked, that's why I sold out.
I know, our whole family has the bug. I think we like old things and appreciate old things. I have a house full of old European antiques, and we are collectors, I guess. It's in the family, in the blood.
I saw your dad when he was back for Mary Ann's auction when they were going to move to Phoenix.
Uh-huh.
Your dad and mom were here. And your dad, I asked him what he was doing to kill the time because he's retired. He said that he's turned to prospecting.
Yes, he was for quite some time. They lived up by Yosemite.
Yeah.
And he was very much involved in dredging and prospecting, and he found a fair amount of gold.
Did he really?
Up in them Thar Hills.
Now, he's down in the Santa Barbara area. Any gold in them Thar Hills?
No, he's not much of a prospector now. His treasures are haunting all the antique stores and the garage sales, and, you know, they love that so much. And people are, and he's actually doing some buildings. He's been working on some things, some furniture.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. He's, you know them, they're always busy, my parents.
That's right.
They're so creative and so interested and interesting.
And your younger brother that I met back in 1982 had asthma real bad, and I felt so sorry for him. And did he get over that?
He's outgrown it, yes. He's He's healthy as an ox, and he lives in Washington, D.C.
And for your fans here in South Dakota, Cheryl, a lot of them knew either your brothers or your sister. Uh-huh. Would you please let us know now where they're at, what they're doing.
Marianne and Bill and Brian and Vicky live in San Antonio, Texas, and they run the rain water conditioning plant there.
Uh-huh.
And they're loving it. I've been down there to see them. It's a great place. San Antonio, Texas is beautiful. Got to see the Alamo and went on the river walk, and they're loving it there. Obviously missing all their friends in Huron, and it's a big step to kind of go off into the world.
Yes, it is.
Especially when your roots are so planted for so long in another
place.
But I think they're loving it. I think they're happy with their move, and their company is very successful, and they're enjoying it.
And your family, tell us about the children.
Well, my daughter Jordan is 20, and she lives in Los Angeles, and she has an agent and a manager and is a young aspiring actress.
Very good.
And my stepdaughter Lindsay was going to college here in Santa Barbara and is transferring probably to another college here in California. She looks like she's going to transfer this year.
Actress?
And she's interested in children's issues. She's working as a children's counselor at a resort here in California,
uh-huh.
So in children's programs. And I think that she's very much involved in music. I think perhaps Broadway musicals will be her focus. Her mother was a songwriter and is a songwriter, and obviously her father is, so I think she's got a lot of music in her to come out.
You married into the Ladd family, and of course, Alan Ladd, the patriarch of the family, was everybody's favorite actor.
Oh, wasn't he wonderful? I was a big fan.
Did you ever hear any stories about him? I know that he wasn't with us after you got married, but...
No, I never got to meet him. He had been dead for quite some time.
Family ever tell any interesting stories? I've always wondered...
What was interesting for me is in every set that I was on to go to work, in every studio, on every crew, from the time I was just beginning in the business and doing small parts on Ironsides and Happy Days and The Rookies and all of these shows, right up through working through Charlie's Angels and right up through all the movies that I've worked on, but especially in my early days, some member of a crew, whether they would be a grip or an electrician or a makeup artist or a hairdresser or a director or a producer, would come to me with an Alan Ladd story.
No kidding.
What a wonderful man he was.
Are there any...
How kind he was to them.
Are there just any that come to mind that you could share with us?
Well,
maybe one or two?
Well, I was working on a show. This fellow came to me. I think he was an electrician on a set. And Alan had shown up for work, and he had mentioned that he really liked Alan's leather jacket that he was wearing. And by the time the day was over, Alan had given him the leather jacket.
Wow.
Because he had just mentioned that he liked it. He was a very generous man and really loved the crew. He loved to play poker on the breaks, you know, sit around with the crew and play poker. He was very comfortable, and he was kind of every man.
Yeah.
They say.
Yeah. Wow. My mother, that was... Her favorite actor was Alan Ladd. And I think probably a lot of us, if we're, you know, we go back to the 40s, 50s, he was a great man. And
what
he was
a voice he had. Didn't he have a wonderful speaking voice?
It was just wonderful. I remember the movie Shane. I think everyone remembers that.
Yeah. it's a classic. It's one of the great westerns ever
that's
made.
Right. Your father gave up prospecting? I can't get over that, Cheryl. He seems so... excited about it, and he's gone back to being an antiquer again.
Yes, I think standing knee deep in that ice cold stream finally got old. No matter how much gold he found.
There's a man, I'm just going to throw a few names out and see what it brings to your mind.
Okay.
Harlan Nelson owns a well-known restaurant in Huron and has for many years called The Barn. It's located about a mile south of Huron on Highway 37, and he is very proud of you, Cheryl.
Oh, well, you know, Harlan was my first boss. He hired me when they had the Double H, restaurant.
I remember that.
Very first job and my very first boss, and he was very kind to me because I was a terrible waitress.
Were you really?
I was just terrible. I was friendly, but I wasn't a very good waitress. I could mess up an order better than anybody.
The Double H Ice Cream Store made the biggest, best, thickest chocolate malts, I think, probably in the Midwest. Did you have a chance to make any?
They were just the best. Oh, they were just the best.
25 cents.
Yep.
And
I think I gained 25 pounds working there.
Was Harold a partner with him at that time, too? There was Harold and Harlan.
I didn't know him very well. They may have been partners, or I don't know. I don't remember. I don't know if they split up, and one went one way and one went the other. They used to be partners, I know, but...
What funny jobs have you had, you know, before you got into the celebrity status where you could actually, you know, have people send you a script, you know, you didn't have to go around and... What were some of the odder jobs that, you know, we all have to do that to make a living?
Well, actually, I was very fortunate. Once I got the Josie and the Pussycats job, although I was babysitting a lot for the children of Art and Edna Whiting's son, they had a couple of boys, so for... to help out and for my room and board, they had a built-in babysitter, you know? So
that's right.
So I did that, but once I got Josie and the Pussycats, I never had to get a job as a waitress or do anything else. Because of that, doing that show, and it was a series, and the songs were on weekly, and then replayed, I got residuals. So I made enough money from that to pay my rent and to... kind of get in an acting class, and then I was very fortunate. I would just get a commercial. I did a lot of commercials.
What were some of the commercials? What did you do?
I was the Arco girl, Arco gasoline.
You were?
Uh-huh. I did a series of about 10 commercials for Arco when there was the gas war going on, and it was. I did all of these things about conserving energy and not polluting the air and so people around the Los Angeles area got to know me, and they showed all these Arco commercials during the Laker games. So I kind of got famous around L.A. anyway as the Arco girl. Then I did a Max Factor commercial. I did Prel shampoo commercials. I remember one of the Max Factor commercials I had to do was for lip gloss. And I had to say, 10 tasty licks of sheer frosty color to gloss on the wettest shine to ever slick your lips. And it was a mouthful.
You did it real well. Did you do it that well?
Anything, I don't think, but...
Did you do it that good the first time?
No, it took all day to do that. Actually, they wanted it faster, slower, perkier, you know.
Are there more jobs now in the business as far as more technical type of jobs than when you first got introduced to the field? Are there like, you know, we all can't be an actress or a night anchor newsman... But, like, for example, in the news, in the network news, there's tremendous amounts of new jobs for writers, all sorts of technical people. Is this true now in your business?
Well, what's happening is there used to be an enormous amount of work in California because each of the studios, and there were four or five or six of them at the time, with RKO Pictures and Republic Pictures and Universal and Paramount and Warner Brothers and all of these big studios, and they used to each make 300 movies a year at least. Now there are four studios, Sony and, you know, Paramount and Warner Brothers, and they make maybe 10 movies a year or, you know, 50 movies a year maximum. I mean they make that is much, much less, and there's no studio system really happening anymore. But what's happening is it's all going on television, and this whole cable boom. Pretty soon we're going to have, whether they say something like 500 channels or something. And that's going to cause a lot of work to happen because they're going to have to fill up those hours with something. So you're right, there will be a lot more technical jobs and writer jobs and a lot more actor jobs, I think. I'm seeing that there's going to be a lot of work for young actors.
How would a young actor, I know this is almost a cliche and everybody asks you this, what's the best way of getting into the business, Cheryl?
Well, first I would recommend trying to do anything else that makes you happy because it's such a difficult business, and I say that having had success, but boy, the struggle is tough, the rejection is horrible, the first, I was a seven-year overnight success. For 7 years, I struggled and did, you know, small parts, and I'd go on seven interviews and for jobs a week, and six and a half or seven every week would be, you're too tall, you're too fat, you're too thin, you're too this, you're, you know, you don't. And it's a lot of rejection.
That's got to be tough on the ego.
It's really hard on your psyche.
Let me follow up on that, because that's a very interesting part, Cheryl. We're visiting with Cheryl Ladd, who right now is about 2,000 miles southwest of us around Santa Barbara, California. But we're going to be back very shortly. You're listening to Personalities with Chuck Anderson. 3, 2, 1. We're back. This is Chuck Anderson. Our guest for the hour has been Cheryl Ladd. Cheryl, thanks ever so much for being with us.
Oh, it was such a pleasure. And I just want to say hi to all my friends and relatives in Huron and around the area. Hope I get back there soon, and I hope that all goes well on July 8th for the medical center.
That's right, for the Huron Regional Medical Center.
And love to all my friends out at the barn.
You have worked out at the barn. You've been a waitress. And I can't let you go, Cheryl, without following up on that one question. Life is very difficult, and you hit it right on the head when you said you should go out and do the type of work that you enjoy.
Yes. Make sure you love it, because you have to spend a lot of hours doing it, and sometimes it doesn't go well.
And what about the people that can't take rejection? Maybe this wouldn't be the right field?
No. You have to be a pretty tough cookie, and thankfully I had parents who really helped me have self-esteem and made me kind of know that you have to stick to something. And the bottom line is, being a celebrity or not being a celebrity, well, you can take that or leave that, and that all is a double-edged sword. But the fact is that I just love what I do. I love to get up in the morning and go to work and do it and act with other actors and work in a creative way with the director and the writer, and I love the process of what I do. So whatever happens, good or bad, whether it's successful or unsuccessful, I've still had a success because I enjoy the work.
Your dad worked with the Chicago Northwestern Railroad. Do you remember those years?
I sure do. Are you kidding? My dad was always my hero. We would go down to the train station when he'd been away working for 3 or 4 days, and there came my dad riding on a train, tooting the horn. He was my hero. And is my hero.
Can you tell us, before you leave us, Cheryl, again, the name of the series and just a little premise about it?
It's called One West Waikiki. I play the medical examiner in Honolulu, Dr. Dawn Holiday, Doc Holiday. And I have to work with a lieutenant called Mac Wolf, and we're oil and water. It's sort of a cross between Moonlighting and Magnum. And Quincy, kind of all rolled up together. It's a lot of fun and very urban, and Hawaii is a beautiful place. Hawaii is like a character in the show.
Wow. Cheryl, I want you to know that we're all very proud of your success here in Huron.
Chuck, thank you. That, you know what? That makes me feel great to hear you say that.
And many people in South Dakota, wherever we go, and we'll mention Huron, and they'll say, isn't that where Cheryl Ladd's from? And, you know, and we do, and we all love you very much, and we're watching your career always with anticipation, hoping that you'll never stop reaching for the stars out there.
Thank you so much. And thanks for the encouragement.
When a person from Huron, such as yourself, climbs the ladder of success, it always looks good for Huron, and it looks good for the state of South Dakota. And we wish you and your family the very best for the future. Thanks, Cheryl Ladd, for being on our show.
Thank you, Chuck, and God bless.
It was a lot of fun having Cheryl Ladd on the show, and I also found her a very informative person about life in general. Those things in life that help shape and mold a person towards success, be it farming, employment, business, or as in Cheryl Ladd's life, a movie and television star. Cheryl mentioned some teachers that were influential in her life, and since we'll be sending her a tape of the show, I thought it would be interesting for her to know what happened to those teachers. So we did a little research, Cheryl, to help track them down for you. Dennis Decker is living in Pierre, South Dakota right now. Ethan Hanks is teaching at a Rapid City High School, and we believe it's Stevens. Mrs. Velsey has moved from Huron. Miss Marie Jones died about 25 years ago, and so has Mrs. Luella Hofer.
Milo Peets retired from Huron High School several years ago and still lives in town. And of course, that classy young Spanish teacher that you spoke about that was so influential in your life at Huron High School, Karen Mueller. Well, Karen's sitting right next to me, so let's just have Karen tell herself, or all of us, what happened to her when she left. Welcome to the show, Karen.
It's a pleasure to be here, and greetings to you, Cheryl. It's been a while since we've chatted, and it's nice to be here today.
And what did happen to that, as Cheryl said, that classy young Spanish teacher?
Well, I think that classy young Spanish teacher has become one of the older veterans at the high school. I am still teaching Spanish here and enjoying my position. And
you just enjoy what you do, and that is certainly a mark of success, right?
I very much enjoy what I do. It has been a pleasure for a number of years.
Earlier in the show, Cheryl was giving some advice to people about thinking about going into an acting career, and she said, first, do what you like, because you're going to be spending a lot of hours in it, and sometimes it doesn't go right. That's pretty good advice from a former student, huh?
That's excellent advice. And I would back that entirely. I think Cheryl and I have both continued to do what we like very much.
I asked Cheryl what classes were most important to her success, besides music and drama, which is obvious. And the very first subject, Karen, she said was Spanish because it is spoken so much in the United States once you get away from Huron, especially California. Can you kind of identify with that?
Oh, most definitely. I think sometimes in the Midwest here, we are protected from our multicultural society. But I think on the perimeter of our country, except to the north, Spanish is a most valuable part of one's upbringing. I think on the perimeters of our country, to have even a minimum wage level position, such as in the fast food stores or in the discount stores, some knowledge of Spanish is usually required anymore. There are so many Spanish-speaking people there.
I got back from Canada not all that long ago, and even though they don't speak Spanish, you know what they speak up there, which is French, and it's everywhere. It's on the road signs, and what I found very interesting is that, you know, with cognates, you really can read a lot of French. You probably can't say it, but you can understand it.
And that's true in Spanish, too. But it's nice to be beyond the cognate level and to be able to converse a little bit. As Cheryl is saying, I know I have talked with her before, and I know that she has used her Spanish some. So I think it's a very important part of one's schooling and education to be able to speak a bit in Spanish in our country, because for so many people it is their first language rather than their second.
And Cheryl, we're sitting here at Huron High School in your Spanish room where you took the Spanish. And I wanted to do this, Karen, to get a feel, now that we've listened, I gave you a chance to hear a little bit of the show. What was Cheryl Ladd like? Or Cheryl Stoppelmore in those days? What was she like as a student?
Cheryl Stoppelmore was a delightful student. She was a very intelligent young lady and a very hard-working student. She knew how to study, and she was always prepared, and it was very pleasant to have her in class.
What other activities do you remember her in besides Spanish?
Well, obviously, I think all her life, her great love has been drama and music. Her great loves have been drama and music, and I remember her participating in the drama productions and in the musical productions and in the talent show.
You were so.
She was also a cheerleader.
I didn't know that. Now, she never even mentioned she was a cheerleader, really.
I think that she left cheerleading, the cheerleading activities, to concentrate on the music and drama.
Yeah. I had thought of how neat it would be if some kid that I had as a student many years ago when I taught, it would be so wonderful to have them on a talk show and Chuck Anderson was so influential in my life. And this is just exactly what Cheryl did about you, Karen. She said you were influential. So I'm kind of curious, as a journalist, kind of your background, how you got to Huron to have had that influence on that young girl who went on to stardom.
Well, I'm happy if I was influential in Cheryl's life. I grew up in Rapid City and attended high school in Rapid City, and I, like Cheryl, could give credit to many of my high school teachers. And then I came to Huron to attend college, here in college at that time, now here in university. And I had two very influential teachers at Huron University.
Do you remember their names?
Oh, absolutely. My Spanish teacher was Aldo Pinario.
I had him for Spanish at Huron College.
And I have to give him credit. The class was so fun, so much fun, that every day it was just a pleasure to be there. And he was very encouraging when he knew that I enjoyed Spanish. And
who was the other teacher?
The other teacher is Vivian Rollman, and she now lives in Rapid City. She taught in Huron High School, I believe.
Yes, I had her at Huron High School, yeah.
And retired from Huron High School and then taught at Huron College, now Huron University. And she was just an absolutely remarkable woman. Very demanding of the work that she did and very demanding of the work of her students. I worked probably harder in that class than any other class, but she was very intelligent and just a fine, fine lady, somebody that I really admire. And so I have to give credit to her.
Cheryl may not have had a chance to have ever, you know, approached you and say, gee, I wonder what Karin's folks did. But it's very, very interesting. And for Cheryl, let's have you mention what your folks did.
My father was a glass cutter, and my mother was a pawnbroker in Rapid City.
A pawnbroker. I love that.
And that was, I'm sure, for her, a very interesting position.
Did she ever have any stories to tell?
Yes, but those are her stories and not ones that I could tell.
We have maybe about 45 seconds left of the show. And because I know that Spanish affected my life so much, I took it when I was in college. Yet I realize after I took it in college how helpful it would have been to me in my years of broadcasting with Armed Forces Radio, how it would have helped me in my travels when I stationed a lot in California. I'd like to have you just give about a 45-second promotional to those young people out there that thinking about maybe they should or should not take Spanish in high school or college.
Oh, absolutely. They should take Spanish in college. As we talked about before, there are so many people in our country for whom Spanish is their first language, and there are so many people at the borders of our country who speak Spanish. I just, here in the Midwest, we don't realize how important it is to know that second language, but it's very important if you leave this area of the country.
And I understand you gave some advice, Karin, to Cheryl Ladd, well, just before she took off.
Teachers probably always have advice, and my advice to Cheryl, because she was a very pretty and talented girl, and I knew that, but I think there are many in California. So my advice to her was that because she was also an excellent student and a very intelligent girl, that she should go to college first and then possibly go to Hollywood. And thank heavens, in this case, she didn't follow my advice. I would also like to say about Cheryl, a mark of her character is that when she returned home in those early days when her family was still here, that she never came back and said, I told you so.
We want to thank Cheryl Ladd for being a guest on our show today, and also her Spanish teacher from here in high school, Karin Mueller. Our show originates from the studios of KOKK and here in South Dakota, and we want to thank all of you for listening today. Karin, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure.
Our show. Our show is heard every Saturday morning at 10:05. So until next week, at the same time, this is Chuck Anderson saying, have a great and successful week, everyone. Bye for now.